Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
I wasn't quite sure where to sit, and this seems like as good a place as any. So just a couple of words that I'd like to share with you. I was thinking about our practice, the practice of Zen, and usually if I'm giving a talk, I try to think about a talk that, of course, that's happening for me. When I first talked to my teacher, you know, Roshi Kennedy, about being a teacher and giving talks, I said, what is the best way to teach? And he said, make your teaching come from your own heart, which I understood as what's most real and alive for the teacher as well. That's where your talk starts from. Otherwise, it just becomes a dry lecture. Something's intellectual. And a teisho is about a talk. Teisho means to talk from the heart. It's something that's direct. The teaching is alive and from the heart. It's not from the head. So as I was sitting with this, asking myself about it, I came up with a koan. This one is from a book called The Blue Cliff Record. I think it's like case 43, something like that. It's very simple teaching, but very profound, I think, and important for us as students of Zen practice. It starts off with the teacher. His name is Dongshan, or in Japanese, Tozan. The student comes up to him and says, teacher, when the cold and the heat come, how should we avoid them? Dongshan says, well, why don't you go where there is no heat or cold? Student says, well, what is the place where there is no heat or cold? And Dongshan says, when it is cold, let the cold completely kill you. When it is hot, let the heat completely kill you. Now, the conversation between teacher and student is a teaching. This conversation really is very much a teaching about desire. And I said, well, if there's one thing that we could all work on in our Zen practice, it's about our relationship to our desire. Because it's very natural for us as human beings. Of course, we all have desires. Anybody conquered their runaway desires yet? Please raise your hands. Okay, that's good. But it's very natural for us as human beings to have desires, the tendency to want what we want, the tendency to avoid what we don't like or what is uncomfortable for us. Just very human to want to do that. We all want comfort. I think at our core, we're all couch potatoes. We like things to be comfortable. We like certainty, right? We like familiarity. We all want to be in control of our life. So what is this koan all about? You know, why is he saying, why don't you go to a place where there is no heat or cold? In this koan, the heat and the cold refer to discomfort, our tendencies to want to avoid things. When it really gets hot in your life, when it really gets very cold in your life, when you are very uncomfortable with what life is giving you, how will you respond? So as I was sitting with this koan myself, I was thinking about when I first became a student of Zen. I was very aware of a vague and very persistent feeling that something was wrong with me, that I was not okay. I was angry, I was unhappy, unfulfilled. In some way, I didn't quite know what it was, but I was walking around with all that stuff. And I had a belief that if I became a psychotherapist, well, that would solve all my problems. I'd just become a psychotherapist, get a good job, make some bucks, put some bucks in your pocket, have a comfortable life, and all will be well. But it didn't quite turn out that way. Even though I became a therapist, I had a good job, had a nice house, there was still a persistent nagging that something was not all right. I felt angry and unfulfilled, and I wanted to get into Zen practice initially to see if I could find a way to avoid those things and be okay without having to deal with them. That Zen practice, if I sat, would make me somehow a different person. It would change me. I wouldn't have all these issues anymore. Somehow I would be, in some strange way, I had a notion, I would be transported into a whole different way of being. Any of you have ever had this thought? I mean, I had the idea that Zen practice, if I came, would make me different. And I, by the way, was doing something very special. And I was more of a special person when I came to do Zazen, on Sunday mornings especially. I was doing something special that made me kind of special. So I started out with this original problem of coming into practice in order to be a different person. Big, 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 big problem. And I started meditating based on that idea. So it became, in some strange way, even though it wasn't so conscious for me, but when I started sitting, you know, if you really want to know how you're doing in your life, ask your partner. If you really want the truth of what's going on, ask somebody who's closest to you about it. So my wife would say, you look upset. Are you upset? Oh, no, no. I would just go to the cushion, and I'd sit, and I'd just, everything would be just fine. You look angry, Ray. Are you angry? No, I'm just, no. Sad? Grieving? Sense of loss? Anything going on there? No, I'm just sitting like a stone. It became a place of kind of numbing out. Getting away, avoiding aspects of my life, in particular on the cushion, that I was uncomfortable with. This is avoiding heat and cold. How shall we avoid heat and cold, the student asks. How will I avoid the aspects of my life that I am most uncomfortable with? When I went to my teacher and asked him about this, he said, Zen won't do a thing for you. It won't change you at all. It's not going to make you a better person. It is not a self-improvement course. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, first, because in the Zen tradition, you already have the treasure inside you just as you are. You're already okay. Second of all, there is no self to improve. There is no self to improve. But first, you have to get your stuff in order, which is to understand that you're okay as you are, rather than avoiding heat and cold. So see, avoiding heat and cold is about our internal state, not some external state. The student had some insight onto this because when he is responding to his teacher, he doesn't say, where is the place where there is no heat and cold? As if, you know, you could go to Jamaica and be okay. Well, I'll just take up a yoga practice and everything will be fine. Or I'm going to go down the shore or wherever I'm going to go. The student is saying, what is the place where there is no heat or cold? What is the place? Not where. It's not outside of him. So he has some insight into this by the nature of his question. So I would also ask you, what is the place in you where there is no heat or cold? So what does that really mean? Is it possible to meet the aspects of our life that we're most uncomfortable with in an open and friendly way? Is it possible to simply say hello to these parts of ourselves, to give value to them, to acknowledge them, to say hello to them, to be, as I like to say, to be wonderfully curious about these parts of ourselves? Anger, fear, anxiety, dread, great joy, excitement, love. To meet them without having to judge them, avoid them, be controlled by them. To just say hello. I was giving this talk, saying something about this talk a few years ago, as we have a little affiliate in Texas. I was down there giving a session. And I was saying something about the positive aspect of love, and that's one of the things that people want to avoid. And somebody said, why would I want to avoid
love.
Well, I find that people are awfully scared of the feeling of great love inside. They say, what do I do with that? I know how to respond to anger, or I know how to respond to some lack I have inside. But if you want to give me a sense of love, I'll run away because I don't know what to do with that. That's scary. It means being open or being vulnerable. It means a lot of things. So it's not just the negative things sometimes that we want to avoid or keep away from, but it may be positive things as well. If you have some notion that you're not very deserving as a human being, it's going to be very hard for you to receive love, right? So you see, this practice is not about getting rid of anything. It's not about becoming anything different than who we are. It's about a radical attention to meeting ourselves just as we are. It also means not being so reactive that when I feel angry, and I can be conscious enough to acknowledge that I'm angry, then I can sit with being angry on the cushion and just say hello to it, just meet it. Well, let's see what that's all about. And if you're going to do any practice for any period of time, you will meet all these aspects of yourself. You will notice that in your thoughts or feelings on the cushion for that 25 minutes or half an hour, all kinds of thoughts and feelings will come up. So one of the problems in the Zen practice would be to use the practice to numb out from these things, to not really acknowledge them. The other aspect is to use the practice to be overwhelmed by them, not deal with them, and then not sit. I don't know if any of you have ever had this experience, but I have, that sometimes in my own sitting practice, when things are not okay with me, great anxiety or fear, it's really hard to sit zazen. Have any of you noticed this? All of a sudden, you know, my half an hour feels like I can do 10 minutes, then I got to get up. All of a sudden, having a cup of coffee becomes very important. Or a phone call. And I get up. And it's hard. It's almost like a visceral experience of getting up. So you know that there's something there that wants your attention. There's something that is calling for your attention that is hard for us to meet. We feel a disturbance. And so we have to leave, right? We get busy. So you see, a really wonderful practice is a way of starting to meet these aspects so when they do come up, which they will, we know how to give value to them and utilize them. So first there's an acknowledgement of them. When we give value to all aspects of our humanity, then our humanity has more value, right? Now this also is very important for any kind of relationships you're going to have as well. Because if I'm not capable or willing to meet my fear or my anxiety or my anger, I am not going to be able to hang around when you express yours to me. If I don't have a good idea of how to work with my feelings, I'm going to have to get away when you express yours. I won't be able to hang out in that space with you. I will have to avoid it, or rationalize it, or reject it, because I don't know how to hold it in my own consciousness. Therefore, when you express it, how can I hold it? I can't. I'll try to talk you out of it, reject it, things of that nature. So you see, the idea of sitting is a way to radically meet ourselves, to say hello. To be one with our experience is the way that you, as Dongshan says, kill it. Go to, you know, you kill it. You kill the self off. You kill all of the commentary. You kill off the stories by not being willing, not needing to keep going to the storyline that you tell yourself about sitting with a particular feeling or a particular thought. Go to a place where there is no heat or cold. It's being one with your experience. It's a willingness to open to your experience just as it is. So it doesn't mean being passive. It means endlessly complaining, endlessly whining, endlessly telling ourselves how we should and should not be. So our Zen practice will not lead to an end of desires. At least I hope not. Because desires are a lot of fun. I mean, don't leave home without it. I hope you're not sitting to kill off your desires. And here's another story for you, another news flash. You will always have some attachments. You're not going to ever put an end to all your attachments. So what we do is by being with them, by breathing into them, by embracing them, by willing to say hello to our humanity, we start to transform them by changing our relationship to them. So when they come up, I can say, oh, hello, old anger. How you doing? Good to see you again, old friend. But I know what to do with it. I don't have to tell my story about how I should or should not be angry. And then when my wife looks at me and says, gee, Ray, you look kind of angry today. I say, I am, darling. And here's what I'm angry about. Let's talk about it. You know, this is part of being human. So I don't want you to fall into the notion that sitting here in Zazen is going to kill off your passion. If that starts to happen, get out of the Zendo fast. It should bring you to life. There should be something that opens up inside of you. It should open your heart. It should bring you alive. And then you can see how you take that aliveness that you discover about yourself and bring it into your world. See? Sometimes doing Zazen reminds me, I started doing a little practice of writing some poetry. And so I had the issue of sitting and facing the page, the blank page that they talk about so often for writers and even artists, facing the blank canvas and meeting yourself there and being willing to sit in that space of not knowing and staying open to seeing what comes, right? The first word, the first line drawn on the canvas. So you see, the practice should be about one opening one's heart and being radically curious to what comes up and then being willing to embrace it and say hello. Not deadening out. Meditation will not make your life predictable. It will not make your life more certain. It will not make you a lot calmer. I hope it makes you more alive. More embracing of your human life. This crazy, crazy adventure called our life. The Zen practice should be more like an open container that allows you to meet these aspects of yourself in an open and friendly way and say hello to them. We can hang out in them better because we have a practice like this. We don't have to run. We don't have to get drunk. We don't have to numb out. We don't have to dissociate from our life. Although we'll continue to do all those things, hopefully the Zen practice helps us to return a little bit quicker to our sanity, to how we meet life. So I wanted to ask, given what I'm talking about, any questions about this? Thoughts about it? As I like to say, am I talking to you? Am I saying something to you? Okay, good. So let's sit with it, and then maybe there's an opportunity to reflect on about how does this apply to your life? How do you make it work? All right. Thank you.